Hello, you are watching the Light Novel Esprit video series on the theology of body. This video is dedicated to Audience 20. We are your hosts. I am Jeremy Hossotter.
And I'm Guillermo Moreno.
All right. So we are going to begin by kind of reviewing a little bit. So in the very beginning, Audience 1, John Paul II brought to our attention the verses in Matthew chapter 19, where Christ appealed to the beginning in his discussion with the Pharisees on the matter of divorce. And Christ told us to return to the beginning through his twofold appeal to the beginning. And so the beginning then, it represents the original dimension of the mystery of creation. We have to go back and understand what is this mystery, which we have been doing so far, and through these audiences. And we want to keep in mind now that original sin shatters this mystery of creation. Original sin, which introduces both sin and death, has entered human history through the hearts of the first man and the first woman. Their unity itself is now threatened by sin and death. The mystery of creation is now threatened by sin and death. And even in this situation of original sin, Christ's words here in Matthew 19 indicate that there still remains continuity between what JP2 calls historical man, which is every single person in human history after Adam and Eve sinned, and original innocence, the state of Adam and Eve before they disobeyed God. And this continuity can be discerned in the concepts of knowledge and procreation. Now, if we were to follow, I guess, JP2's framework here in this chapter of the theology of the body, then the 20th audience marks the end and the beginning of a new section. So audience 20 is the beginning of the sixth section. It's on knowledge and procreation. We have now finished the section on gift, on the dimension of gift. And so we're going to transition to now connecting the dimension of gift with procreation through the concept of knowledge. And that's what's going to take us through audiences 21 tw or 20, 21, and 22. All right. So in Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, we have this small tidbit where the Bible says Adam knew Eve, his wife. Now, the term used, E, or knew, is in Hebrew. It means yada. It's yada, and it means to know. And so the one flesh conjugal union of the first man, first woman, is defined as a kind of knowledge. Now, we have this footnote here to further develop our understanding of yada. Yada is not strictly intellectual knowledge, but it can include it, but it also incorporates concrete experiences and moral judgments based on experience. So yada is a knowledge that's defined in terms of that's also defined in terms of interpersonal relationships. And it's also, so it's used to describe paternity, descendants, and genealogy. And yada has also a negative meaning in terms of abstinence. So when we read Luke chapter 1, verse 34, for example, when it says Mary did not know man, this means that she was a virgin, according to how the yada is used as an idiom for abstinence. And that's an important point for our theology of Mary, it revolving around the Hebrew use of the word yada. I point that out because there are a lot of Protestants who do not have cognizance of this fact of the usage of the Hebrew word yada. You still there, Guillermo?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah?
Yep.
Did you have anything you'd like to add, or are you done with yada?
No, as a matter of fact, if I could play devil's advocate a little bit.
Uh-oh.
The New Testament, yeah, I acknowledge that, of course, the meaning of the word to know. But the New Testament was written in Greek, not Hebrew.
So?
Would that not play a factor somehow?
Were the authors Jews or were they not Jews?
Of the New Testament?
Yeah, was Luke a Jew?
He was not.
He was not. What was he?
No, he was a Gentile.
He was a Gentile.
Yes, he was.
But do you think he'd be familiar with the...
He was a Christian. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely. No question about that.
Exactly.
Sweet.
Just the fact that it's not written in a particular language does not reject the Hebrewness of the idiom itself. Okay.
I see.
The very use of the term new tells us that he is using this Hebrew idiom for abstinence.
All right.
Yeah. If you look up the Greek text, it literally says, I do not know man.
Oh, sweet.
So,
you know Greek?
No, I just looked at one of my study Bibles,
sweet,
which says, literally, it says, I do not know man.
Okay.
And that does not make sense if you take it in terms of intellectual knowledge.
Sure.
It has to be taken in this way of the Hebrew idiom,
mm-hmm, yeah,
for yada. That's how the church fathers would take it. We wanted to really go down that rabbit hole. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Did you want to go down that rabbit hole?
Not today.
Okay. That's how I felt. One of these days, maybe.
Okay.
Another video series, maybe.
Or in our other podcast series.
Podcast. Yeah. If you are watching this, we do have a podcast.
Yep.
More details later. Knowledge. So knowledge is yada, or yada to know, right? So knowledge then, in our context with the conjugal union, it means that knowledge then signifies that the conjugal union, this one flesh union, is brought into the dimension of person, and that this knowledge is reciprocal. Man and woman participate in this knowledge through their body and sex. Keep in mind, the word sex here is not referring to the conjugal act, the thing that a husband and wife do, but it's referring to their masculinity and femininity. Man is male and masculine. Woman is female and feminine. For JP2, masculine and feminine are strictly referred to by the term sex. Just wanted to reiterate that point. Now, JP2 then says that knowledge is a archetype. And what he means by archetype is going to be an interesting topic for the next audience, audience 21. But if you're interested, just look at footnote 32 in audience 21. All right. So knowledge as an archetype. So Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 is the first use of the word yada, or new, And there are two aspects to this. It expresses human intentionality proper to knowledge, and it refers to the whole reality of the conjugal union. Now, if you're wondering what this word intentionality is referring to, we are going to define it in a later audience. In fact, it is audience, let's see. We will define intentionality in audience 25. So coming later, audience, what is the meaning of this word intentionality? We will go into that because it is an important term. And when you're reading this, you probably wonder, what is that even meaning? We'll just say for now, intentionality is a power that is proper to man as a person that animals do not possess. And we'll go into that again later. All right. So, knowledge expresses something proper to persons, not animals, and it's referring to the whole reality of the conjugal union, that unity, that one flesh union of the man and woman. So, knowledge then indicates the deepest essence of married life, and there are three aspects. We have this consciousness of the body. You have this single subject of the conjugal act and its experience. So the man and the woman together in their one flesh union become the single subject of the conjugal act. And there you can speak then of a single experience of this one flesh subject, so to speak. And so in the third aspect of this essence is that the man and woman reveal each their own self to the other through their body and masculinity and femininity. And this revealing is given in the mode of knowledge. Man and woman know each other through the giving of their bodies in this conjugal union, and that is knowledge in the biblical meaning. Did you have any reflections or thoughts for us so far, Guillermo?
That's a little redundant, but to paraphrase what you said, it's just not a coincidence that the word knowledge, it's related to the conjugal act. I think phrasing it in that way, I think helps to shed light in a different form, I think, of the relationship between this word and who we are and what the spousal meaning of the body says and tells us about ourselves. Yeah, it was redundant. Like, oh, it's not a coincidence. Of course, well, God created us this way. But the terms that we use, it's not a coincidence that we're using those terms because of the meaning behind them.
Okay. That is a good thing to keep in mind. It is not a coincidence. There's inherent meaning behind everything we have been talking about. That meaning is grounded in the reality of the things we have been discussing. All right, let's see here. Gift of self through the body. So JP2 makes a point now that datum is identical to donum in scripture. Now, these are two Latin terms that he introduces. Datum means that which is given, and donum means gift. And datum is what is stressed in the verses we have been talking about, Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. The datum, that which is given, is the body and the masculinity and femininity. And this enters directly into the content and structure of knowledge. And this knowledge is conjugal knowledge. So through being man and woman, each is given to the other as an unique, unrepeatable subject, as a gift of a person to another person. And this is not a passive object that's being given. This is not something like, oh, just here's a body, here's masculinity, here's femininity, or here's human nature. It is a person that makes all the difference. You're not giving something passive like a box of chocolates. You're giving yourself as a person. There's something dynamic about it. Now, we're going to conclude this video with some reflections on sex. Again, the term sex is referring to masculinity and femininity. Sex is decisive for somatic individuality. Somatic, in case we were unfamiliar with the word, it comes from the Greek word soma, meaning body. So sex is decisive for bodily individuality. Our masculinity and femininity is a decisive factor in our bodily identity, our individuality and identity. Sex defines our personal identity and concreteness. In this identity, man is unrepeatedly masculine, woman is unrepeatedly feminine. In this identity, man and woman become known, and the one flesh union becomes established. In the establishment of the one flesh union, we get to know woman, we get to know man for man and woman, and get this experiencing of this identity through the body. So we can say that knowledge in this biblical sense, as knowledge of the conjugal act, it really penetrates into the innermost roots of human identity and our concreteness because of our masculinity and femininity. So knowledge penetrates, let's say, into the uniqueness and unrepeatability of the person. Each human person is unique and unrepeatable because each human person is a special gift created by God, willed for his and her own sake. And our sex helps define this personal identity and concreteness. Did you have anything you'd like to add, Guillermo?
I don't.
All right. In that case, we're going to end our audience or our video of this audience. Thank you for watching this video. If you have been enjoying our content, please subscribe to our social media, such as YouTube. Consider making a financial donation through PayPal or Patreon. Your financial support goes to maintaining our website and the purchase of resources to continue producing great content that you love and enjoy, such as our video series. If you have been enjoying our videos, check out our website. It has a lot of great articles, and it also has a podcast. Guillermo, can you give us some more information about our podcast?
Yes, our podcast series touches on various topics, always through the lens of Catholic personalism. And we do talk about, say, aesthetics, trends in politics and culture, and any topics that we find fascinating or, oh, we should talk about this, and so forth. The main platform that we use is Buzzsprout.com. There, you can listen to our episodes there or download them as well. And you can also use that to find us and other platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. We have about 20 different podcast platforms where you can find us.
All right. And just something to note is if you go to laydenvillespreet.com/subscribe, you can find out everywhere we have social media presence, whether it's our podcasts or other things like Facebook or Twitter, etc. Thank you for watching our video. Did you have any last thoughts, Guillermo?
Yes, just please keep us and our mission in your prayers. Thank you very much.
Yes, please pray for us. And with that, I'm going to say goodbye.
God bless.